You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
He got a phone call from Michael Jackson back in the day. At that moment, we didn't have a cell phone. Even we didn't exist, I think. That was a long time ago. We existed. but no yes. cell phone. So he right. used the phone, home phone, and somebody said, "Oh, I'm Michael Jackson, and are you Don?" He was like, "Yeah, I'm Don." But no way, the Michael Jackson, yeah. Jackson is gonna call me, you know, like the, so he hung up.
Okay.
And then phone ringed again. So he, you know, took, no, it's me, Michael Jackson.
Hi guys, I'm Benny and you're listening to 2020. If you haven't subscribed yet, please go to 2020-D.com. This week, my cohorts and I, Siobhan Cronin and Corey Pesa.
Hey, Ben.
Hey, why are you being super creepy?
Speak to a wonderful, very inspiring cellist. Now, I know what you're thinking. Bass? No, cello, as in CeeLo, E-L-L-O. She played with Madonna, star set like Siobhan. Her name is Mariko. And she's amazing. And you need to watch this story because I honestly feel like by the time I was 8, I should have just given up.
Yeah. Definitely an inspiration and such a sweet person. It was such a pleasure to have my friend, obviously from Starset and all the other acts that Ben mentioned. Cirque du Soleil also, a great insight into the beginning of her story, a lot of her musical tastes and influences. So, you know, it was great to hear from her. Definitely check it out.
Yeah. What the hell are you doing, Ben?
I'm assuming they're on YouTube because if they can't hear it and they're like, why is there no, maybe they'll go. They'll be like, what's he doing?
Anyways, here's part one with Mariko.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of 2020. I'm Siobhan Cronin here, as always, with my co-hosts, my cohorts, my friends, Benny Goodman and Corey Pesa. How's it going today, guys?
Cheers. Waking up. You know,
we're doing...
America runs late on Duncan.
We're doing a morning episode this time, even though it will air at a different time. Yeah. But we're all here drinking coffee. And our wonderful guest today is my dear friend, who I've had the pleasure of getting to know and play with over the last several years, Mariko, the amazing cellist of Cirque du Soleil. She's played with Madonna, has been my bandmate in Starset, all the way from Japan, living now in Vegas. We have so much to talk about, and I can't wait to get into your story. So here it is. We've got part one with Mariko. Thank you for joining us today.
No, thank you so much for having me.
I was so excited you were willing to do this because I know it's early there. It's early for us already. And so she's up at 8 a.m. looking bright-eyed and bushy-tailed
and
with perfect
and apparently
makeup.
She's already seen episodes that we've done and still came on, which to me is more impressive.
It's 11. It's like 11 where we are and we're sitting here like, oh. Like, look at the bed. I need Botox and fillers. Like, this is ridiculous. She looks perfect. You look like you walked out of a freaking animation movie of like that somebody in Asia was like, what's the prettiest woman I could draw? And then now, you just need to dye your hair pink and then you can go to every PAX thing and just say you're a character in Final Fantasy. They'll believe you. Your name is accurate.
You can still back out if you want.
Japanese looks like anime. Probably.
Well, I've met some Japanese people that definitely don't look like anime. They look like more like nightmares, but you look like an anime.
Nightmare. No. You're so funny.
Don't encourage him.
Don't enable him. Don't boost
his ego.
She's feeding
the animals. Watch, there's an animal in the corner now. If you go to the YouTube, 2020-D, my animal walked in. She's like, food?
Oh, Lucille, I didn't even see her. There she is in the corner.
Peeking in the corner there.
And then she goes.
No, but I saw you guys on YouTube, but the sound is very, very characteristic and just like you guys, you know.
Oh.
You know, I never talked with you guys in person. Of course, I know you guys, but it's very happy to talk with you.
Oh, good.
Well, it's funny. She's like, we thought the show was good, but you're like, technically it's good. You're like, the audio's good. So Corey's the only good part. He's like, I cleaned that up. I put a limiter on and I actually EQ'd the whole holistic mix. But the show itself is total dog crap. I apologize.
Wow. Great start to the episode. So anyway, so let's, Mariko, let's introduce you to our listeners for anyone that doesn't know you. So can you tell us a little bit about how you got started in your career? Obviously, you're a cellist. We see the cello case and the electric cello in the background. Amazing player. You've got a really diverse background, which I love.
Who have you played with? Because I'm a stoner. I want to know now. And then you could tell me everything about you. Like, can we list? Because I know you were in Star Set, right?
Yes. It was super funny joining because I just finished the Michael Jackson's Immortal World Tour by Cirque du Soleil. That was like my first world tour. Yeah.
So you're on Cirque du Soleil, Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
Our friend Shani, actually, who we spoke to before from Israel, plays guitar for Cirque du Soleil, Michael Jackson.
Oh, that is a Michael Jackson one. That is a residence show in Las Vegas. Yeah, and it's very confusion. I know a lot of people is confused.
We're always confused, so that's fine. Yeah.
Well, so tell us about that though. What was that tour? How was yours different?
So that what I did that tour was before that I'm gonna apologize because I'm from Japan and I've been here for 6 years, but still my English sometimes is not great. But hopefully. You guys understand?
If you don't understand.
Thankfully, my Japanese is better, so whatever. I can't read that. Like, literally, learning Japanese is like climbing to the top of Mount Everest. You're like, I know English. You speak English better than 98% of Americans. So,
but thank you for that. You know, nice words. So that tour is by Cirque du Soleil, and basically, of course, Michael Jackson already exists anymore, right? So it's a tribute shows, and we use Michael Jackson's voice and also many videos from music videos and of course from the Michael Jackson's family's foundations. So basically, we had many materials from Michael Jackson's.
So wait, you played with like the immortal spirit of Michael Jackson and he was like piped in through the system or on the screens and you're basically, whether it's a live show or like, I've seen stuff like this together, but they'll take like old recordings, like with Queen, they'll take like old recordings of Freddie Mercury and have Adam Lambert sing back and forth. You took Michael Jackson, well, not you, Cirque du Soleil took Michael Jackson and then you're playing with the spirit of Michael Jackson over in front of a lot. How is that? Because Michael Jackson, as everyone that's listening should know, was the king of pop, and rightfully so, because he was one of the greatest performers of all time. So you're basically playing with the spirit of one of the greatest performers in existence.
Yes, so that was super honor to me, and also at the same time, I'm sure they had a kind of pressure, because Michael Jackson is such a king, and I'm sure, you know, a lot of people is kind of, oh, this is not Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
Sure, they're expecting a lot, for sure.
Right, but we just, you know, purely believe, you know, what we can do for that.
Wait a minute, did someone show up at the door and go, wait, this isn't Michael Jackson. Where's Michael? I want my money back. Where's your Ouija board, bro?
I don't think that
I would
ever
hope
happens.
No one is that disconnected from reality.
With that music,
criminals.
With that music, how much... I guess artistic liberty is taken because obviously with the instrumentation, it's going to be different. Like, how do you guys approach the music itself?
So we had 11 musicians from half of musicians was actually they worked for Michael Jackson.
Oh,
wow!
Yeah, Bad Tour, wow. You know, or the Dangerous Tour. So they already knew what kind of material was it. What kind of sound quality he wanted to have.
Wait, so am I hearing this right? You inherited Michael Jackson's band or some of the people that actually worked with Michael in the room, and they basically were like his interpreter, like, he would have liked it this way.
Yeah, yes, exactly. So, for example, bass player, he ended up being a music director on the show, but for example, him, he got a phone call from Michael Jackson back in the day. At that moment, we didn't have a cell phone. Even we didn't exist, I think. That was a long time ago. We existed. but no yes. cell phone. So he right. used the phone, home phone, and somebody said, "Oh, I'm Michael Jackson, and are you Don?" He was like, "Yeah, I'm Don, but no way, the Michael Jackson, yeah. Jackson is gonna call me, you know, like this." So he hung up.
Okay.
And then phone ringed again, so he, you know, took, no, it's me, Michael Jackson. So those episodes, you know, I heard from many musicians, you know, what kind of the sound approach they did. So that was pretty much fun. But same time, I couldn't speak much English. Like, you know, that was like 7 years ago. So I couldn't, you know, get much, you know, stories like now. But still, that was so much fun. And also the process, we created the shows. And every day, of course, same routine or same set list. But still, we had a solo moment. Especially, I had a solo moment. I played this electric cello by myself. After the song titles Ben,
my song.
got a spotlight, and then suddenly tracks like stop, and then I'm showing up, and I start my 90-second solo.
Wow.
From like a classical style to like rock style.
What were you the intro to after Ben? So it's Ben, crazy ass cello solo.
And then that one. Hotel. Oh, shoot. Hotel. Oh.
Is it the one that like hotel, motel, holiday?
I think that must be it, yeah.
It's okay. It's not a big deal.
Oh, I can sing, but I... Oh, shit.
That's adorable. She's like, I don't know Michael Jackson's song, but I can tell you what mode it's in.
Yeah.
This is amazing. Could you just imagine, it's Ben, and then you just go, and it just goes into a crazy cello solo?
Yeah, that was super fun. I had, a ear monitor, and then the music director says 30 seconds, 70 seconds.
Yeah.
And I have to finish. And then going back to track. I had to play with track. So.
Right. That's hard because you have to, you know, if you're not on a click track and you're just doing a free form solo, it's so hard to keep track of how many seconds have passed.
So just exactly. for perspective, you know, this was recently after you moved to the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And how far into your career? Because, you know, doing an unaccompanied solo like that in a big show can be pressure for even a pro. So,
do you know this from personal experience, Corey?
Yes, the several times that I've done solos in front of eight drunk people at a bar. But no, I'm curious because that's a big moment. How much experience did you have at that point performing in front of large crowds?
I mean, that was like my first world tour. Of course, I had so much pressure and of course, nervous. After I had that experience, any show is like more like exciting, like than nervous, being nervous. Before, I was like every time, you know, kind of nervous, but after that, okay, I can do it.
Wait, I have a technical question because you said you have 90 seconds and then you need to go into the next song, which has a click track. So are you like playing some crazy arpeggio and then all of a sudden they're like click, 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 and it's a count off? Is that like
saying that she had the music director in her ear, you know, telling her, okay, so you got 30 seconds left.
You got 30 seconds. So you're basically in the middle of a crazy arpeggio in front of a ton of people. And they're like, you got 30 seconds. Wrap this shit up. We're about to go into the way you make me feel.
Start sustaining some notes there.
You're like, yeah, go into whole notes. Make sure you're in E because that's the way you make me feel. 85 BPM. Get ready. After just playing in front of 20,000 people or whatever.
We've had similar moments in Star Set. I mean, less pressure, but you know, like a lot of stuff that's time coded or whatever, it's like rolling into the next track. So we had a couple interludes sometimes where it was like that. It's like, all right, hopefully we play this at the same tempo as yesterday, because the click would sometimes come in and you're like, all right, gotta wrap it up.
Or maybe you shit your pants and they're just trying to buy time so you could change your spacesuit.
Go check out Richard Shaw's first episode.
Yeah. And especially, you know, it's, of course, everyone knows Michael Jackson's songs. And suddenly, that is my improvisation. So no one knows, first of all, who you are and who, like, what that song it is, you know, the people think. So I had to, like, catch these people's hearts, like, immediately from classical style to, like, a going crazy moment. So that was, like, a pretty much like challenging, but at the same time, I learned a lot of things. That was super fun. Yeah.
So was that something that you got to write on your own? Like you were allowed to come up with your own composition of 90? Was it the same every night or did you alter some things each night?
So I wrote it like a scratch, like, you know, okay, maybe first 30 seconds, I should keep on the classical style. And going to crazy, maybe 20 seconds, you know, like a transition. Mm-hmm. And then going, like, you know.
Full on crazy.
Yeah, I made it like that structure. Otherwise, I'm going to freak out, you know.
Yeah.
And then when I get used to, maybe like it's 3 months later, 4 months later, I kind of add more like different stuff each night for my challenge.
Yeah, you got to keep it interesting.
Yeah.
So you start simple, but then by the end of it, you're like, I'm going to do 64th notes and I'm just going to mess with them. I'm going to do pizzicato with this finger and then I'm just going to be bowing with this finger. So I'm kind of like plucking.
I'm waiting for him to drop
bowing.
A flat 13 chord in this conversation.
No, man, I'm sticking an Aeolian in this one.
Oh, my gosh. But going. Yeah, go ahead, Mariko.
And of course, you know, behind the they had like a three stories stage. We, you know, the dancers,
the around
so
stuff.
Musicians are on the top, and sometimes the guitarist comes out to the middle stage. So I was playing this my solo on the middle stage. So basically, the all musicians behind me. So maybe a week later from my first day, the drummer who is a very good friend with Michael Jackson, her name is Sugarfoot. And
Sugarfoot.
Yeah.
He texted me, you know, today's solo was amazing and you sounded awesome. Like, you know, he texted me like that message. I was super surprised because, you know, I thought that they might be more diva or something, you know. Yeah. I mean, not the diva, of course. If I talk with them, it's very nice, but I kind of, you know, of course, I admire them, and I didn't expect like those words from them or from him. So I was like, wow, those words very encouraged me.
Mm. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, you would expect people to be more judgmental. And I mean, even, yeah, like in the rest of the rock and metal world, there are a lot of people that are sitting judging, like, yeah. Waiting for you to fall short.
I disagree with that because, first off, as somebody who's been in the rock and metal world, when I see live strings, especially, okay, so I said
strings
this before,
might be different, but I'm, you know,
but,
go ahead.
But it's one of those things, it's like when Corey and I played in a rap band, when people saw a live rock band, they're like, what is this? There's a drummer? There's actually someone that plays? So like, I absolutely understand it because the standard, first off, I'm sure in Japan, it's probably way higher than our standards. I'm sorry. Other than on Cheetos and breakfast foods, as I've been told by Marty Friedman, you guys are better at everything, literally everything. So like, where your family's like, that wasn't good enough. We're like, that's the best I've ever heard. Holy shit. And then you're coming to rock. The difference between classical and rock is you're interpreting some dead guy usually, or girl, but usually some dead guy, right? And you're doing it perfectly, and they're telling you every, like, it's pizzicato here, or it's played, you know, this way, allegro. We don't
Yeah, but
do
the
that.
Irony here, though, is that we're also interpreting the dead guy of Michael Jackson. Yeah.
No, but
so,
it doesn't
and that's
matter,
like a-
because the thing is that it's pop music, so that there's way more levity than if you're playing Chopin or Franz Liszt.
Yeah, there's no
it's like
purists that are going to critique your
flat
style.
13 chord, you're fucked.
Yeah, there you go. There's the flat 13. Okay. Yeah.
Originally, it was probably on a keyboard anyways, so it doesn't really matter if you
Yeah. Oh, I remember the next song's name though.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Heartbreak Hotel.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. Nice.
Yeah. I'm like, it sounds stupid. You know, I just remember.
No, it's okay. No, it's, go ahead, Corey.
Before we move on, there was just one thing you mentioned about, you know, Michael Jackson calling the musicians to do it. And I was just thinking, you know, how they hung up on him. I'm pretty sure that Michael Jackson never had anyone stay on the phone with him the first time he called. Can you picture that? Like, anyone believing the, like, hey, it's Michael
Corey,
Jackson.
Your mix is amazing.
Yeah, I'd be like, fuck you, bro. Like,
there's only later to let you know it's really him. It's like, this is Bubbles the chimp.
I believe that over anything else, but he's probably one of the few people that probably is just completely used to being hung up on and doesn't take offense to it.
Oh my gosh, that's crazy.
But that was your first like big world tour. Like, what were you doing prior to that?
It was a lot. That tour changed my life a lot. First of all, I grew up in Japan, and I didn't know much about the, how should I say? Of course, I loved the American rock music since I was little. And I was listening to many genre music, but still, I didn't expect to spend my time in the US. I have been a musician since I was little in Japan. I thought, you know, I'm keep going like this. And then suddenly I, you know, went to the different countries then and performing. And also I met many countries people. It's basically like a diversity, like a world, right? I think the people's conversation, people's actions, people's like friendships changed my life a lot. Of course, musicians, but not only musicians, dancers, acrobats. And I thought, you know, I think that Japan is such a great country, but still just only country, right? They have like a J-pop and they play the rocks, metal, da-da-da-da, but still not exactly same with other countries. I'm not saying that this is good or not, just different. And then a lot also culture-wise, okay, this is obvious, I thought, but actually it was not. For example, taking off the, shoes when we entered the house. I never thought, somebody's, going to the house with shoes.
I'm going to politely interject because do you know who Marty Friedman is? He's known as Mr. Guitar in Japan. Right, we play with him. And
yes.
The way I learned about Japan, because I know nothing, I literally know nothing. I'm like, okay, they make really smart people there that play instruments better than us. Okay, that's about what, and awesome keyboards. Like, that's about what I know. And Marty Friedman has a whole video where he's like, well, in Japan, they do it this way. You take your shoes off. It's rude if you do that. I'm like, wow. And then apparently, and he's married to a cellist in Japan. And I'm like, holy bejesus, like there's a lot of weird universal synchronicities here. But I just wanted to know, like, he's known as Mr. Guitar in Japan, and he's been like an ambassador, like to us as far as explaining Japan because he lives there full time. Do they know him there? Is he like actually a big deal? Is he as much as he is in Lost Symphony, our band?
Yeah, I have seen him on TV shows many times. And my friend was working for him. So yes, of course, I knew him. He's such a big like a legend in Japan.
Wow.
And that's also amazing. So like, him, he's bringing his music different culture to Japan. We appreciate that. And at the same time, I appreciate that I could have like more experience with people that I think that changed a lot in my life. And also the music-wise, I think in Japan, we use the music charts more. But here, I think you guys have great ears.
We just improv more and we suck and we're just like, oh yeah, whatever, we made it work. We do what Marty Friedman does. We just bend until it's right.
No.
We're like, that note's wrong.
So what you're saying is basically it's a bit more rigid. It's almost like Siobhan's background, you know, being very by the book, by the page, as opposed to us, which, yeah, I, like Ben's saying, it is a lot. I think a lot of musicians here, it's not so... You get more from like listening to the radio and picking up an instrument than maybe a formal education at first, at least. So there's a lot of musicians that are just like, I want to play something, and then they figure it out and they just have to develop that sort of outside the box thinking.
Yes.
That's why, also why a lot of musicians in Japan come out being prodigies and actually.
Well, that's why I wanted to ask her about the Marty Friedman thing, because my segue was he has something called Tokyo Jukebox 3 and it's all Japanese songs interpreted by Marty Friedman. Have you heard this?
I didn't, but I know that is on the cover.
I'm going to brutalize them, but it's like Makinade, Senbonzakura.
Oh, Ben.
Grange, Kaze.
Let's let the pro.
No, but what I'm saying is it's all supposedly like cultural Japanese tunes, but done by Marty Friedman. So I was just curious, as a Japanese woman who's very, you know, literate as far as music, like, is this good or is this an abomination?
That's awesome. Like, that's amazing, you know. Because I think some people trying to bring the traditional, like, for example, that is like a combination of rock and then Japanese culture, right? We can't, because even we're trying, we are 100% Japanese, right?
Sure.
So we can't mix that with others. So he can do that. It's a very new, and then it's...
Why can't you? Is it just...
Well, I think what she's saying is that, you know, it's hard to bring in an outside perspective if you're not from a different country. You
like,
know,
who's going to read the song list to that if it's done by Japanese people versus Marty Friedman made me read that?
But go ahead, Corey, ask your question. Well,
Just curious, is there any other comparable artists that are Japanese that are doing something similar to that, that are taking the traditional style and using other like more Western types of music with that?
Mariko is doing that, and your solo stuff that you do a lot of that right now, combining different influences with some Japanese style and rock and classical. But anyway, I don't know if you know of anyone else that's doing that.
I mean, oh yeah, they combine the different genres. Yeah, yes, I'm sorry, I didn't misunderstand it, maybe. Yes, recently a lot of musicians, singers trying to do that. For example, Miyabi, who is a guitarist, I'm not sure you guys know, but he's like a chop guitarist, like chopping, and then he's like doing it like his character name is like a samurai rock guitarist, and he's doing like a unique stuff with his originals. So yeah, some musicians trying to be stuck out with like originals and unique way.
Well, I want to go back and listen to these songs because Marty Friedman, as he's gotten older, I'm sure some metalheads are like, he's not as metal. But it sounds like Andrew Lloyd Webber does metal. And like these songs, okay, it sounds like if you took like the best Disney music that you grew up just loving, and it's like so invigorating and all that, but then done by Marty Friedman. And I'm like, are these songs as awesome in Japan as Marty Friedman? But then I realized that you're, again, better in every way than we are, so they must be. So maybe I learned something because of Marty.
Mm. And and Senbonzakura is a very famous song in Japan. I think it's coming from the, what's called, like a character online. She sang.
Of course it is.
Hatsune Miku. Do you know Hatsune Miku? Mm-mm. Hatsune Miku is like a Vocaloid character.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So that song is very famous in Japan. And I think he did some like a crazy...
What kind of character?
A Vocaloid.
What is that?
Vocaloid is... So it's like a MIDI. If we put the MIDI and then we select the synthesizer or piano.
Oh, okay.
That is a... Like... Kind of like a robot cute girl voice.
Oh, it's like a vocoder, like with someone's voice
put to it. Yeah, okay.
Okay, because I'm trying to understand that. And by the way, so
very stylized,
Paul Lorenzo, our drummer from Lost Symphony, who does all, I don't know if you've seen, you said you watched our show. We do character art of all the people that come on, and I just can't wait for him to draw you with a cello. And so we're going to draw a picture of you. I mean, like, he's been waiting all of his life for this.
He's great, yeah.
That'd be awesome, yeah.
Just make it your profile picture. You can totally pimp us out and let the Japanese know, like, we're coming. We got Marty Friedman, and now you.
Yay!
Well, let's go back before we get carried away in this episode. That amazing story is obviously, but I'm curious to ask a couple things. Growing up, was most of your training classical? Like, what was it like studying cello in Japan? And how did you end up getting the Cirque du Soleil gig, like the world tour? Because that's a pretty unusual jump for most people that come from the classical world. It often takes like a long time to transition into a different style. So, what was that like? How did you get that?
Yeah, I studied a violin and piano when I was 4 years old. And then eight years old, I started cello, right? And then since I was a child, I think my mom let me listen many genres of music. But at the same time, I was not allowed to watch the TV. So always I was listening to the radios.
Mm-hmm.
And then my favorite was like, American rock channel. Of course, I couldn't understand what they sang. For example, title, lyrics. But to me, the song was super cool. And then that was my kind of first instinct.
Do you remember any bands specifically that you liked? American rock bands?
I think only the band, but Bee Gees was like a super huge hit. I remember, of course it's not a rock band, but
they're rock.
And then because I figured out like what kind of band later.
Yeah.
I was listening to the radio like 10 years, when I was 10.
What about the Bee Gees attracted you? I'm very curious. Like, what about the Bee Gees in Japan where you're like, staying alive? Like, his voice is so high. I mean, I love, they have like a gajillion hits. First off, Corey, they are not rock. They are pop. But secondly,
what is
in the Bee Gees, bro.
Well, nah, whatever. Four on the floor
to me is rock. I don't care.
That said, they were amazing. And I want to know, like, of all the bands, what attracted you to the Bee Gees?
I think, of course, I had no idea what he's singing.
No, I don't know what he's saying. I speak American, but I still can't hear him.
I think the soundtrack behind it, of course, his voice is great, unique, but other instrumental sound was unique to me and it catched my heart. And it's not the American rock, but a Queen song, "The We Are the Champion," when I heard that song.
Oh, that's rock. No, that's rock and roll.
Let her tell the story.
Rock and roll.
That was like, oh my God. That song was my favorite, like since I was young. Eagles, and I heard Aerosmith too.
So what you're saying is you have better musical taste than 99% of women I've ever met in my life. That's fucking awesome. Good for you. You're like in Japan, they just have better taste because we have ears.
You mentioned that We Are the Champions connected with your heart. At the time, did you understand the lyrics or was it just the music? And
So only the We Are the Champions. I was listening to like English class on the radio. And then that class, I think every Saturday had a class with music. So, I heard the Celine Dion song, then those pops, rock, any genre. So that was like one of them, We Are the Champion. And then, I read the Japanese. Lyrics. And that's awesome.
Was it the vocals, the guitars? Like, what about it immediately drew you in from Queen and said, like, this is it?
I think their style is more like kind of classical style too. Like, their structure is very classic close to classic music.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
That's why kind of easier to get in to me, because I was playing the instrument, the Japanese instrument. And when I heard the Jamiroquai, that was like, I'm sorry, that is not in US too, but it's, you know, UK, but they're using strings.
Yeah.
He's Australian, yeah.
That was my favorite too. And what else?
She likes funk. She likes funk. She likes Bee Gees and Jamiroquai. Jamiroquai is the funkiest.
Yeah, like, Jamiroquai is awesome.
If you guys haven't heard what smooth funk is, it's Jamiroquai from Australia. And then the Bee Gees. So what you do is you like awesome bass lines and cool funky chords.
Yeah.
Like flat 13s.
Yes. And also Dream Theater changed my ears too. That was shocked.
Same here.
I remember Mariko was so excited when we were playing, I think, Download. She was like, I have to see Dream Theater. And we walked through massive piles of mud to get to see. And it was just chaos. But she was like, I have to see Dream Theater. So I knew she was a Dream Theater fan from the beginning.
I think Dream Theater changes a lot of people's ears and minds when it comes to music. At least, especially for someone like me, who was really just listening to radio rock and Metallica and these I love the energy of rock and metal, but didn't really hear a lot of the technical stuff until Dream Theater, Symphony X, and some of those more progressive bands. But there's definitely a switch that goes off when you hear that kind of music.
And similarly feels classical, you know, the complexity and the structure. And yeah, I mean, I think it is relatable to a classical musician.
Because I feel with Dream Theater, so I went through the same thing as Corey, where you listen to Dream Theater, you're like, oh my God, this is amazing. It opens up your mind because it's us silly people listening to classical music, except interpreted by metalheads. So we're like, okay, cool. That's a new thing I haven't heard. But then after listening to 10 albums of Dream Theater, I'm like, okay, we're just Americans trying to compete for the best guitar championship. And I don't know, it lost a little something for me, because one of the things, you know, that I love about Star Set and I love about a lot of these other bands is just it stopped being unique in its own way. Dream Theater was unique because it was like nothing else, because you're listening to all these basic rock bands, and then in comes Dream Theater and oh yeah, odd time signatures, playing the craziest thing, having keyboards locking with guitars in harmony. But then there was 10 albums of that. Is it still cool for you hearing everything, or is it one of those things where you're like, okay, you guys have done that?
You know, the artist is super amazing, so they keep bottom line always, of course. But I have my favorite album, you know, the Image is my favorite.
Images and Words? Me too.
So I prefer an old one. Still, they are maybe second albums, third albums. But still, I love them, their approach. And also, I remember that Avenged Sevenfold, I love them too. And also, I copied the Mr. Big when I was high school.
Mr. Big? Hell yeah.
Mr. Big, Paul Gilbert. They're an example of a band that they had one song, To Be With You, that everyone knows, but that's not like most of their music. Most of their music is more rock, but it's also very, very pop-oriented rock. But Paul Gilbert is one of the greatest guitarists that ever lived. I mean, as far as musicians, he transcends guitar, and he's one of the guys that goes on Marty Friedman's Mr. Guitar Show and does duels and stuff where they yell at him in Japanese. He's like, okay, I play Cheap Trick. He's amazing.
Yeah, and then of course that Metallica, you know, blew my mind. Of course, I think a lot of people that, you know, So I'm sorry, I can't, you know, catch up the main names, but you know,
no, that's a lot. No, that gives a really good picture.
Yeah,
no, it's true. That gives a really interesting picture of the influences.
Metallica.
Yeah. So how
I'm playing two shows with that band.
So how did you work that into your experience learning to play cello? I mean, were you gravitating towards wanting to play rock music, or were you feeling drawn to classical music? How did that work into your, you know, your experience learning the instrument?
Yeah, so I was listening, but at the same time, my instrument is very classical, right? And I was practicing in the classical way, and I didn't believe I can be a musician, because a lot of people, you know, taught me, oh, it, being a musician is very hard. It's first of all, you can't make money, you know. I mean, but only few people can make money. So, and also, in the world, so many talented people exist. So, if you want to be a musician, you have to practice a lot and And then, first of all, my family is no one is a musician, so they didn't have any
reference. Yeah.
For being a musician. So, but still, I loved playing the cello or other instruments too. And when I was 8 years old, I got a chance to play with the Japanese classical instruments band, who was like got a big success in Japan and then did an arena tour. And then when I was 8 years old, I was on the stage with them. And basically, they are playing the classical pop music, but based on classical music, sometimes like arranged for the rock style, and that was super fun to me. And then people
wait at 8 years old. So when did you start playing? So this, let me ask you this: is the Tiger Mom thing a real thing? Because I know that Siobhan's good because I know Anne Marie Cronin, and I know that from the time she was born, she's like, you need to know about horses, you need to speak seven languages, you need to know the difference between Rococo art and Renaissance art, like. You know what I was doing when I was 8 years old? Trying not to drool on myself. And you're like, I'm on stage realizing my musical prowess. What time did you start? Like 3 months old?
Yeah, my mom was super strict. I'm sure because Siobhan's mom was strict. And then when you
this died. Is why we want you to play with us. Just so you know, it's an open invitation. I said this to Susanna too, and Starset as well now. But we'll take every one of Starset's string players because we already know that Dustin's a maniac and won't let someone who's not a Jedi play.
We thank Dustin for the vetting process.
We know if Dustin works with you, that you're probably amazing.
But I forgot what I'm gonna say. But
no, but you were saying like yeah, so you got the chance when you were eight to play in this classical.
And that was super fun, and I thought okay, there's a chance you know to be a musician or but at the same time I realized kind of classical music has a many
limitations
possibilities. But same time,
the opposite.
It's very difficult to perform sometimes because we don't use that microphone, right? And then, but I loved playing the classical music. And then when I was high school, I was, you know, going to just general, not a music high school or university. Well, I was not going to. But when I was 17 years old, I had a special class by a professor from Switzerland. And that class was so much fun. And I same time, I had like a frustration because, you know, oh, I want to play like this, but I can't. And at the same time, I wanted to explain more logically what I'm playing. I was like, you know, just having fun, You know, just freely, I'm playing. But at that moment, I wanted to explain what I'm doing, you know, and also why I'm doing play like this. So I decided to be go to the university, music university, and that was my start for my career. And then when I entered the university, that was another start because a lot of people is doing same thing or same practice. For example, we play the same concerto,
same repertoire. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then there's so many talented people already, you know, like Chopin concours, like, you know, that is piano, but, you know, for example, the competition in Japan, audition in Japan, they are many, many talented people already. Mm-hmm. So I thought, okay, how can I be a soloist? And how can I
move to America where we all suck and you're the best by far, even if you're not good by Japanese standards? Great idea.
Let her finish. Yeah. So go ahead.
Sorry. So that moment I thought, okay, playing the many different genres music by cello can be unique. Because that nowadays it's not so unique, maybe, but that was like 20 years ago. And then how about if I use the, you know, electric cellos, how if I stand up while playing the cellos, and then no one doing in Japan, maybe in the US, maybe, but no one was doing in Japan at that moment. So I made a custom long end pin, and okay, let's stand up, because when we are playing the pop music or the rock music, it's more like an energy tech. So mm-hmm. if I like perform like this, then maybe audience will get more like excitement or something like that. Yeah, I was thinking like I was trying, fail. Okay, I need to adjust. You know, I did many things on the TV shows, the radio shows. That was my start. And I had a regular TV shows when I was university student. We arranged, and then, I had a band with violinist, pianist, and then flutist and me. We arranged the pop songs or rock songs, like many genres songs for our way, and then performed every day on live on the TV. Oh. So that was like my actual start for my career.
What was the name of that group?
Vanilla Mood.
Okay. And what would happen? Like, would you like wake up and they'd be like, you have 3 hours to take this Maroon 5 song and just reinterpret it perfectly in your Japanese band way?
Yeah, so that was like, you know, being the university students. So we woke up at like 6 and go to the TV stations and did a run through, did a show during the noon, and after that we went to this university, and then go back to the studio, the practice for next day, and until like 7, and then go home, literally like eat, sleep, and going back to the TV station.
Wow. And for how long? How many weeks or months were you doing that?
Total was 3 years, but 1 year and a half. When I was 20.
Hold on, wait. Do you know that Dustin complains about playing 15 shows in a row? He's like, I can't do it. Which, by the way, is terribly hard. For anybody out there, like, that's actually a reason to complain. That's super hard. But I'm making fun of that because, by comparison, it's like, you have to go for over 1,000 days. You're not going to sleep. I hope you eat rice, because if you're going to be tilling the fields.
Well, if you're in Japan, you're in luck, because there's a lot of rice eating.
Yeah, well, they're like, well, you could sustain somebody on rice. You stay thin, but you'll be able to work for 19 hours a day, maybe 20 some days.
But definitely, that was tough. And then first 1 year and a half, so we did like a 1 year and a half when I was 23 years old. And then, yeah, that.
So was that like negative 2 years ago? Like, you look like you're like 20 years old. You're like, oh, yeah, 20 years or whatever. I'm like, How old is this? You're like,
she's ageless. She doesn't like, age. She's like the same. Like,
I'm 342 years old. That's why I'm
39.
You're 39? I thought you were going to say you're like 31 or something like that and be like, oh, well, that's so sweet. You're 30. You're a year older than me.
Yeah.
I need to start getting, my fiance does Botox. I'm like, I don't need it.
You just need to,
now I need to get Botox,
you need to move
and fillers.
No, I'm telling you, you need to move to Japan. Like when we first went, or at least when I first went, when Mariko was there, when we did our tour there with Hyde, the breakfast buffet alone
but
at the hotel.
Marty Friedman's hair
to you.
Is now white. So I feel like it's going to age me. And then he has giant bags around his eyes and he's pale. He looks like he's jaundiced.
Oh my gosh.
I don't know if Japan's good for him.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, just a gene thing that I don't know. But we do. We do the Botox things. I didn't yet, but maybe.
That's amazing.
What would they do? Just like pull out your face and just look like you're, like, what would they do? Like embalm you? What is there to do?
Where
like,
are we?
I have to,
where are we?
Okay,
what's happening
all right.
Now?
No, yeah. Ben, you've totally. Okay, let's go back. So you did the TV show for, you said about a year and a half or a couple
yes.
years. Okay.
Yeah, and then we released the CDs. So those are like a fundamental my experiences or my career, you know, which I was playing not only classical music, like, you know, we still use the classical instruments, but many genres way. sometimes like funk, sometimes rock, sometimes our original is like more like that way too. And then we did like a 7 years, 8 years keep going. But while that, I was doing a recording stuff for the TV shows, like other TV shows, movies, stuff. But suddenly I got a phone call or like a text message from my friend. And are you interested in the Secret Soleil? That was my, like, that was like my changed day, you know?
The moment you had where you're like, the moment. This just got real?
Yes. And I was like, huh, yeah, I am. But I thought that was fake. Because,
you know, just you're like, this isn't Michael Jackson.
Just like Michael Jackson calling, yeah.
Yes, I was like,
hey, you're a cellist, right? Do you want to be in my show? Aren't you dead?
Yeah, and so my friend was asked from this casting guy, you know, do you know someone, the cellist, and who would be in the, or who would fit to the show? And then next day, I got like audition details, you know, we need to hear your improvisation like this, you know, that was like a classical style to rock, and also the beat it solo moment, like, you know, the and back like jet dance.
Wait, you had to play Michael Jackson on the cello?
Yeah.
The beat really solo? Though? No, wait, you had to, or just the the main riff?
Yeah, that one. Yeah. Da, 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 and then also da da bum bum bum, you know, like what kind of sounds I create, and then what kind of performance I do, they wanted to know. Of course, I think they checked my CDs a little bit, but at that moment I didn't have YouTube, so they didn't know much. I'm not sure they knew I did a band or not, because the band had YouTube, but I didn't do my solo stuff much. So I sent a video, and 2 days later, you passed. Oh,
nice.
Thank you. And then, by the way, that casting guy was like doing the translator. So the casting team had many the people mm-hmm. in the country who speaks, like, you know, for example, in Japan, one guy is doing a casting for us. So that person called me. So that person spoke Japanese, and he mm-hmm. asked me, do you speak English? And I was, no. Just pretend. How? Like, but anyway, you'll be fine. So yeah, so during the tour, I didn't have any translator, and that was my challenge.
I can tell you exactly what happened. First off, you're adorable, because you're like, if you're gonna audition for something, if I was on television with a band interpreting famous songs, I wouldn't be like, well, I can't send this because it's not just enough about me. Even though I had no YouTube, you're like, I'm not gonna rely on that. And I'm not gonna rely on those laurels. I'm just gonna show up and be me. And then once they figured out, they're like, she's a prodigy. She's a freaking savant. They have a Japanese dude call you and be like, hey, can you speak English? And they're like, we need her. She's amazing. Does she speak English? Like, just tell them you speak English. And here's the thing. In the United States of America, you want to get around, just go, that's interesting. Or yes. Or sometimes just like start nodding when they start nodding and they'll start nodding, or even nod before them. We're dumb. So if you're from Japan, and you learn how to play cello by the time you're 8, let me assure you. Where maybe I'd walk into your house with my shoes and be like, what's up, dude? Smoking my weed. And you're like, this is against everything. You're going to get your hand cut off. You could come into the United States and just be like, thank you. And they're like, oh, she's so sweet.
Oh, my gosh. But let me just... No, go ahead.
Sorry. Could be like related with music, but English... or the U.S. People's talking is very full of like a passion or like expressions. So it's very kind of easier to understand. Oh, maybe this, even I don't understand what someone says. Oh, maybe he's happy. or maybe he's sad, you know. And then I was like more like listening. Those like trained my ears too. Like very connected with, like, you know.
We're like dogs. You can read our body language.
Wait,
like,
did you learn how to like speak English better by like, with the same faculties that you use to like listen to music and then go from classical to rock? You're like, well, Ben keeps saying that's wicked cool. Like okay, that's wicked cool. And then someone's like, whoa, she knows us. It's just all a vernacular thing for us to say hella before everything. You're like, she's from California.
Oh my god.
Yeah, but I think it's the same approach to, like, you know, with when I'm, you know, at least when I wanted to copy someone's solo or something like that, you know, during the process of studying, okay, I want to copy this guitar solo by cello. It's, we have to hear the intonation, of course, notes, but, you know, between the notes we need to hear, right? I think English has more intonation than it just maybe different, but more like unique intonation, accent. So pretty much like close to like learning English and then learning music. Does it make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, the different styles. My wife's from Brazil and she came to America not knowing any English, and she came first to actually Nevada. And so when she came to Boston, everything she had started to learn went out the window because we talk like idiots out here. And she's like, she couldn't understand anything we're saying because we don't say our R's and everything. And then
it's a distinct accent.
Well, you've
for
also
sure.
reaffirmed something. The reason they probably speak more consistently across Japan is because you take direction and you learn things properly. We're in America, we're like, I'm not going to use that word the way I want. I ain't talking like that. I'm making conjunctions up. I don't even know what a conjunction
is. You talking
shit
about America, bro? What is this?
Me? Talking shit about America? Dude, let me tell you, everyone keeps telling me because I come on this show that I'm like social. No, I'm turning into my dad. I'm in an office with three different monitors. I don't even know which one to stare at. And my most social thing ever is talking to people across the country from me that are vetted ahead of time. And I'm like, okay, I think I'm going to like her. She's like, oh, I've been playing cello since I was eight. And I'm like, she's timeless. Like, what don't I like about this? That said, yeah, America, I walk outside, I see what's going on. It scares the freaking shit out of me.
All right. Well,
go ahead, Corey.
I was going to say, before we dive too far down that road, we're getting ready to wrap up this first hour. So I guess.
I'm not ready.
Get ready.
I have a rest. I have two rests coming up.
I need to step away, but if you guys can wrap this up in the next 3 or 4 minutes, and I'll be back.
Okay, okay. Yeah, Corey has to pick something up. So, okay,
Corey's
but anyway. No,
Uber
but
Eats showed up.
No, what I wanted to say was, before this turns into the Ben episode, I think just to highlight for the listeners, we learned a couple super important things in this episode from you, Mariko, which is, one, be on the cutting edge, or as we like to say, the bleeding edge of, you know, a trend. Like, you were like, okay, I need to be more energetic on stage, so I'm going to stand up and play cello. That was like really innovative, especially thinking of the time 20 years ago, right? Like, not everyone was on YouTube. These trends didn't exist. You had to really figure out, before you even got the gig that asked for it, what you had to do to be different, you know? So that's number one. And then number two, just say yes and jump in. Like, you don't know English? All right, doesn't matter. I'm going to do the gig anyway. You know, like, so many people find reasons to not want to do something or to be timid about trying something different that's outside of the box. And I mean, you're a perfect example of why that pays off, to absolutely do what feels authentic to you and, you know, change stuff up, break the rules a little bit. I think that's super cool, like all that stuff that you did. And all we got is stepped up to Cirque du Soleil. There's still the whole rest of your career we have to talk about in part two.
It's almost like there's another episode coming.
There's almost like another episode coming up. So I guess we're going to have to wrap this one up without Corey, or maybe he's back.
Well, I have another question for you. So, like, you know, you're from a country with such a high standard. How do you stick out? Do you have to go to the United States? Because I feel like in the United States, like, if you're good in Boston, they're still like, fuck you, guy. So you move to LA and they're like, you're the guy good from Boston. And then you go back to Boston like, oh, you went to LA, you did something. And you're like, you have to fool people. Is that like what you do in Japan? Like, you're like, I'm going to go to the United States, play this Michael Jackson guy. And like, I think he's pretty big somewhere. And then you go back to Japan and now, like, do they accept you as being a big deal now?
I'm not sure about myself, because I can't know, you know, how they see me, you know, even after my shows, what, you know, but I think everybody knows Michael Jackson. So it's more like it gets familiar to them. That's first thing. And also still Japanese people, I think since we lost for the World War II, I think still the United States culture is kind of the symbol for the admire and respect. So I think going to tour with other people, especially the U.S., but not only the U.S., you know, we travel. The performing and then on the tour, well, other countries is very more sticked out as a cellist, I believe.
Sure.
I think that during a tour, I grew up too. You know, and I had many great moments, like, from the people, talking with the people, they go on the stage. Like, every moment, I made me grow up. So that's why maybe I changed too. So when I go back, when I went back to Japan, maybe my approach was maybe different with before.
Sure. Yeah, perspective, absolutely.
So I think it's a combination with everything, but definitely came here, changed my, like, something. I can't describe yeah. well.
That's great. So maybe in the next hour we can dive into, you know, where you went from there, after getting into Cirque du Soleil and everything. Thank you for being with us in this first hour. Thank you for sticking around the entire time, even after hearing us talk and the things we're saying.
No, it's so much fun. Thank you.
Of course.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, so we'll talk more. Yeah, go ahead, Ben.
Where can we hear your music? Like, give us all the links, feed it to us so we can put it underneath for us plebeians.
Or tell the listeners, your YouTube channel, your Instagram, where everyone can find some of your music, yeah. what you're promoting right now, anything you want to share.
Yes, I have a YouTube channel. You can search as a Mariko Cello. And also I have Instagram too, Mariko and the...
Can we spell it for people? Because I feel like you're giving us a lot of credit. It's Mariko. And for people that don't know that cello doesn't have an H, it's Cello.
And you can read the title of the podcast you're watching or listening to right now. Not to be confused with
CeeLo. Like CeeLo Green? No, it's not that guy. It's not the dude like with the weird voice that sounds like
the Bee Gees. It is cello the instrument.
It's cello the instrument. Well, I mean, it's just a bigger violin, right? Wait, yes. It goes violin, viola, cello, double bass, and then djent.
Let's not confuse the listeners. Mariko
and you
Cello.
Are a champion. You are the champion. Freddie was talking about you. You came here. You conquered. We played all the big parks. You do it yourself. Everybody, give it up. You're amazing.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Check out 2020-D.com. Stay tuned for part two with Mariko. Thank you, as always, for checking out this episode of 2020. Please visit 2020-D.com. Like and subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss out on future episodes. This week's throwback clip is from episode number 93, featuring Dustin Bates of Starset. Check it out.
Adam was behind this thing, and it's totally translucent. And then when you give it voltage on each of these little nodes, it'll go clear. And so what we did is, he's playing behind it, and it goes translucent, and then we projected onto it, 3D projection onto it, and then when he wasn't playing, and it also solved the problem of the electronic drum loops, like he's not playing, he disappears, and now it's projection, and then boom, I used like wireless DMX control, and used it to open up some relays that made it go transparent, and now he's playing. But the only issue is the little box I made to, it was probably still prototype that actually picks up that DMX signal to make it go transparent. You know, you're at festivals and they're just like, it doesn't get as much love at a festival. Well, he's, I don't know when it happened, if it was from the beginning or like during a song, he just stays translucent. He's just in a white box for multiple songs. So that's a very, very Spinal Tap moment.
I'm Daniela Clark. I'm Barbara Ann Wild.
And we are the Honest AF Show.
Our podcast is real, honest conversation with our celebrity friends and pros.
Covering our anything but average rock and roll lifestyles.
All while tackling the hell that is aging and the battle of beauty.
Oh yeah, nothing is off the table.
The Honest AF Show is available wherever you get your podcasts.